This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, this is DeAndre Hopkins, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. Fantasy Footballers. We're back.
We're very staccato today.
Yeah. Brooks is back in the building.
Heyo.
Which is good. Just being pretty lazy for a few days, as the producers have been before.
Oh, man. It's a good bit.
You want to know what's interesting is that the series finale of Succession, a show that I know for a fact.
No spoilers.
Judge Giamatti himself adores, came out, and I know he hadn't watched any. He was going to binge the last season. And I think it's just a little coincidental he missed some time here and managed to get through how many episodes out of those 10 that you needed to watch?
Somehow we got caught up just in time for the finale last night.
You got caught up. Okay.
Somehow I perfectly timed out a schedule.
And the truth shall set you free.
Unfortunately, that will impact the succession plans here at the company for you, Brooks. So I'm sorry to hear that.
He doesn't need it. He's filthy rich.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't watch, haven't watched. Not that I'm opposed to, just I haven't watched it yet. So the final one happened?
Yes.
A lot of success?
No spoilers! I'm two episodes away.
Jason is behind.
I'm just trying to figure out if people succeeded.
Some success.
Okay, great.
Yeah, some success.
Mild success.
Mild success. Welcome into the show.
I don't know what they're even succeeding at.
No, you don't. Explain yourself on the show today, taking a look at some of our early rankings and areas where one of us kind of detours away from the other two and giving them an opportunity on today's show to explain themselves.
Yeah, I think this is always a really valuable show because a lot of times the arguments for the people explaining their strong and more unique position sway me. So I will see if you two can sway me today.
Yeah, and then the big news, here we are on Tuesday, and the next show we have will be the day that the Ultimate Draft Kit is launched. And so lots of work has been building to this point, and June 1st on Thursday, the Ultimate Draft Kit is here. You can learn more about that at ultimatedraftkit.com. This also means that today's the last time I'm going to get to tell you to pick it up at the pre-order price.
Yeah, this is literally the last time we could say, hey, save money. If you're listening right now and you don't have the Ultimate Draft Kit yet, get it now. It launches like in a minute, and you can get pre-order pricing right now. And if you're getting the UDK Plus, that is a pretty big savings.
Yeah, and we're really excited about what we got in store for you this year. All the sleepers, breakouts, busts, and value picks are in there. We're wrapping up the 100-plus player profile videos, all of our rankings, upside meters, risk meters,
There's a lot of content, and you're going to love it. We want to hear from you. So go on to Twitter. If you've picked it up, once you start checking it out on Thursday at the FF Ballers, let us know. You can follow Jason at JasonFFL, Mike at FF Hitman. I'm at Andy Holloway. Let us know what you think. And it's not, you know, one of the big things about the UDK is that, you know, unlike those ancient magazines of old, this is a living, breathing, always changing, always updating product. So from now, which is, you know, we're sitting here May 30th, all the way through kickoff, we're going to be making tweaks and updates and changes and reacting to the news. There's a news feed inside of it so you can keep up to date. And
these statistics,
we want you to win your league.
Yeah, the statistics on Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown have changed already because
they have.
It was not printed and shipped.
And so the quick question for today ties directly into the UDK. Brooks threw in here, favorite feature or insight from the UDK, favorite upgrade. Is there something real quick that you can touch on that you think is impactful?
Yeah, for me, I love the Red Zone Report. Just being able to go in and look at the really high value opportunities and see where inefficiencies were. We've capitalized that on that in years past. So, for instance, Zeke had 19 carries inside the five. And right now, Zeke is gone. There is a huge goal line opportunity that is available there. Or Joe Mixon, who had 16 carries inside the five, only scored five touchdowns on those. His opportunity should be able to bounce back. Or, you know, another one that stood out to me, Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders combined for 32 carries inside the 5 yard line.
Sounds about right.
I mean, you know, that offense is really awesome. So you could take a look at that. You could take a look at the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, and see the truly, really valuable fantasy opportunities. And you can go, oh, look, based on this, this should have happened, but it didn't. I'm going to bet on what should happen versus just what happened last year.
Yeah, I'll throw out the newer feature, the upside meters that we added to the UDK, because they coincide with like the risk ratings that we've had for years. And it allows you to quickly identify players that, you know, are in a position where, yes, maybe the risk is significant, but you also have a high upside later in your draft. Players with opportunities that are more consistent but lower upside, and lets you balance your team in kind of an efficient way. I like to have, you know, we kind of say those last three picks in the draft. You know, one of them, a lot of the times you're going to be in a situation where you're going to want to be able to be active on the waiver wire immediately in the season. So, you know, you finish your draft, you've got a roster, but you probably are going to have some guys that you're tempted to drop. Make sure your last couple of picks give you upside, something that you can see early in the season so you can make a decision on them quickly, as opposed to just kind of a maybe low risk but low reward player that you're just going to drop anyway. So that's kind of the feature I'd be focusing on.
And I'll chime in here for the best ball primer, which is, it's in the UDK Plus, but those who are out there, like, we have many months still. Football is approaching, but it is best ball season, and this thing is an absolute beast that Borg and Betts put together every single year. It's got the team outlook, where to look for your stacks. You're talking about their personal highest exposures to players. Compare our ranks to the underdog ADP, so where you see where you can extract value based on our projections and things like that. But it is, how many words is that this year? Kyle, how many words this year?
It's like 15,000 to 20,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolute monster. And if you play best ball, you should be utilizing this as one of your go-to tools.
Yeah, and if you can't read, do that first, and then
learn to read. Yes.
Then pick this up. UltimateDraftKit.com. Those are just some of the highlights. Let's talk NFL news.
News and notes from around the league.
Hit the music.
The Cardinals have released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins.
What pick did we get for him?
Had to be a good one. I was going to look up the...
they just let him go.
Hold on. I'm going to look up the Davante Adams trade. Let's see. Where do we got? Got to get this. So Davante Adams became a Raider last year. I still can't find that. Why is it so hard to find trade stuff from last year.
The Cardinals. Yeah, the Cardinals, their offseason continues. I mean, they dumped DeAndre Hopkins. Not even a post-June 1st cut. They just took it, what, $22 million?
I mean,
on the chin?
For the team, that was honestly, if you're going to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, that's how you should do it. Just 2023 with a quarterback coming off of an ACL injury, and you're rebuilding for this year. Eat it. Eat that salary cap. Have nothing moving forward. It was shocking to me. And
it was a 2022 first round pick and a 2022 second round pick.
Right. And then they gave him a gigantic extension for players who are basically the same age. I know that that Hopkins has missed games, but it's like, how do you not get anything because of the contract?
It's because the Raiders weren't available to trade with. They had already gotten DeAndre.
Sure.
Or Davante Adams.
But the market is hot and heavy already for DeAndre Hopkins, which, I mean, shocking. What we're hearing the most, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills. It's going to be some great team, and they're going to get DeAndre Hopkins for just salary.
I go on Twitter and I see people asking, like, he joins the Chiefs, he joins the Bills. What will Hopkins be in those situations, and then what will the fallout be? I mean, if he joins Kansas City, you know, the Kadarius Toney hype train can just get completely derailed,
mm-hmm.
as it should.
Just cancel the tickets.
Board it up. And then in Buffalo, it's like, I'm not really going to move Diggs that far, but he's going to move.
Yeah.
And it would absolutely 100% crush Gabe Davis, who is a very high volume. Like he's in like 90% of snaps. He's in two wide receiver sets.
Oh, it'd be so good for Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and, though.
Yeah, that's really the big key. You know, if he goes to Buffalo, it's not so much great for Hopkins, but Josh Allen with two superstars.
But I mean, is he a wide receiver too, either location or higher?
Oh, for fantasy? He's definitely a top 24 wide receiver in either situation.
I mean, people forget, again, you look at the Cardinals, you hear the music. He was great when he played football last year with Kyler Murray. And so, rumors coming out, he didn't play when he was healthy last year as well. That was another thing that came out. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not see that one.
Multiple games, fully healthy, didn't take the field.
That seems not great.
Yeah, and so there is... for there only being the Chiefs and Bills interested right now.
That's just leading.
There's a lot of teams.
I'm sure 31 of 32 teams are checking in on DeAndre Hopkins right now.
Well, Mike, why don't you catch us up on this Jimmy Garoppolo news?
So the Jimmy Garoppolo news, perhaps starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. It is now a perhaps because he had a foot surgery in March. And now everything is messed up. He's not participating in OTAs. There was a quote, hopefully he's ready for week one. And then it started to come out that the Raiders have reworked his contract. Essentially, they took his signing bonus. That is now into base salary, which means he does not get that money right now. And the TLDR is, if Jimmy Garoppolo is not healthy sooner than later, the Raiders can just cut him and move on. Yeah, if you recall, we briefly mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah, there was a pump fake.
Like the announcement, the Twitter sphere went crazy. Garoppolo to Raiders. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. But then the team kind of was silent about it. And then a week later, they came out. They're like, yeah, we got Jimmy Garoppolo. And it was like, what happened in that time period that you didn't announce that Jimmy Garoppolo was your starting quarterback? Well, this is what happened. He has a foot problem. And there is no guarantee that he is the starting quarterback for the Raiders this year.
And in totally unrelated news, Tom Brady is now an owner of the Raiders.
Minority owner. He's
right. Yeah. But I'm just saying he is part of that organization. Also, Josh McDaniels is still the head coach. you know, the Patriots' longtime
coordinator. Like,
so I'm just saying, if I'm in a super flex,
you're gonna fan those flames.
If I'm in a super flex dynasty league,
those old flames.
I'm looking on my waiver wire just to see if Brady has been dropped.
And then Brian Hoyer, he does nothing better than backing up Brady. No, that Brian Hoyer's on the roster, and they have a rookie. I mean, if this goes south with Jimmy Garoppolo and they can cut him because it has to do with his foot. Are they calling on Trey Lance? Are you calling on...
They have to do something. It
can't be Brian Hoyer.
Devontae Adams will not hang around.
It can't be Brian Hoyer. Hoyer's a fine backup quarterback, but
he's 37 now.
You have to have a plan. Oh, Lord, is there slack as Carson Wentz?
Matt Ryan, baby! Yes.
You need to have a real grown-up plan. And a grown-up plan does not involve Carson Wentz coming and being the quarterback of your team.
Oh, yes, Carson.
Trey Lance, I mean, at this point, I don't even know. Like what backup quarterback can they go trade just a bag of chips for that is worth a shot to be a starter?
If it's Matt Ryan.
Oh,
and your bet, your little Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan bet goes sideways.
It's going to be Carson.
Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts was not participating in OTAs last week, had surgery for his MCL in November last year. Matthew Betts says he should be 100% by training camp. So I believe him.
Yep.
And then ESPN had a report writing the Jaguars didn't want to see Travis Etienne taking 74% of the running back carries again. Tank Bigsby was a third-round pick. We've talked about it on the show. I don't think I'd want my running back getting 74% either. I definitely don't blame him for that. And so that could speak to a more of a balancing there. I don't think that means ETN's going to necessarily struggle. He's been very efficient, but it's an important report.
Yeah.
The plan last year wasn't for him to take 74%. The plan went sideways when James Robinson
stopped performing
and then complained about it, and they shipped him off.
Yeah. This is what the Jaguars, with their actions, have told us as well. And Etienne is still a fine running back too, with weekly running back one upside. But you just, like, when you're making your decisions here, if you're looking at Etienne or someone who's, you're like, oh, this is a talented running back who should see 70%+ of their team's attempts, maybe you go that direction.
His best ball ADP is well ahead of where we have him ranked.
Yeah, he's a running back one right now. He's the running back 12. Being drafted off the board, so you've got to assume he's going to be very efficient, or still have, you know, if not a 74%, you're going, oh, he's got a 68%.
Right.
You know, it's got to be close to that to return on the value. Obviously, he's a super talented player, but I think Tank Bigsby is also a talented running back, worthy of a day two pick, and so do the Jaguars.
It'll be interesting to see where his role is on the team. And especially when it comes to, like, is Etienne out there on every third down? Pass protecting? Rookies stepping in to do that are difficult. So is Tank Bigsby just taking a drive here and there? I don't know. We'll find out soon enough. We'll get to see him in training camp. Any other news, Brooksy?
That's all for now.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Come back with Explain Yourself.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. To learn more and get a quote, restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year, or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. It does seem like the Raiders are like on the razor's edge of being a disaster.
Yes.
Like in the maybe we commit for Caleb Williams type of disaster. Like there's not options out there that are like when Carson Wentz's name is brought up in a conversation, you've already reached the point where you might want to hit the panic button.
I think that Carson Wentz might be a better path to the number one pick than Brian Hoyer.
Oh man. You and I think your both Carson can get him Wentz there. Hatred.
I think both can get him there.
It's only because he's bad at football.
It's a strong point, Jason. What do you have? What, do you have a counter to that?
I have a counter that
he wasn't always.
That he is okay. Far better than Brian Hoyer at football right now.
I don't know.
Who would you rather have run your offense, Colt McCoy or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
Colt McCoy.
Which one has a job right now?
Well.
Yeah, the better quarterback does.
Is Carson Wentz just a bad time?
I think so. I think that's in
a locker room, though. I mean, like
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think he's not the most beloved.
Like, does
fella.
He turn the music way down? Do you know what I mean?
Or it's just like polka.
He switches it.
Yeah, he's like.
I don't know if he's a polka guy. You think so?
I don't know.
I think he's a.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Smooth jazz kind of. I don't know. All right, we are. Let's move on. I don't think any of us are explaining our Carson Wentz rank today. Thankfully.
Quite well, thank you.
No. Clearly you are not. No rational person would do as you have done. Explain yourself.
All right, we're going to take a look at six players that one of us in particular has ranked quite a bit differently than the other two. And we'll start with a player for Mike, which, by the way, I see Kyle sharing the Raiders win total right now, 7.5. I think I put an under bet on the Raiders about 6 weeks ago. So this is only adding to that. I don't think it's heading the right direction. I'm sorry, Raiders fans. All right, the first player we're going to look at, Mike has ranked at 15. I got him at 25, Jason at 29. We've actually talked about this guy a decent amount this offseason. All of us have him ranked ahead of his underdog best ball ADP of 31 at his position. And I think we all like him.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike has a much higher rank because, you know, your ranking is kind of where you think that they're going to end up. And this is right on the fringe of a wide receiver one. And we are talking about San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who had a very good year last year. That team is always dealing with injuries. I think the question in a lot of people's minds are full strength 49ers. What is the role for Brandon Ayuk, Mike? It's time for you to explain yourself.
Yes, I have a Brandon Ayuk. I have him ranked pretty high. I mean, compared to where he finished last year, I don't. He's actually very neutral because he finished as a wide receiver 15. From weeks 6 through 17, he was the wide receiver 6. Look, it starts with Brandon Ayuk, number one, being just a good wide receiver. And think of the story of Brandon Ayuk. It's taken us a while to get here. First round pick, that's fantastic. The production profile wasn't what you would hope for Brandon Ayuk, but then he got the draft capital. It was a little surprising. Comes in, has a rookie campaign where you go, I can see it. I can absolutely see the path for Brandon Ayuk to become a good wide receiver. Then Kyle Shanahan, something happened behind the scenes that we did not completely see. I think we finally heard whispers. It was Ayuk wasn't taking practice as serious as the coaching staff wanted. But Brandon Ayuk got doghoused. Deebo Samuel had a breakout campaign. But towards the end of the year, you're like, okay, maybe Brandon Ayuk has proven himself to this team. And then last year, you have a really big season for him. He is a true deep threat. He's a good route runner. And we have this tweet here from Jacob Gibbs, and he broke down the big three for San Francisco: Deebo, Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. What does it look like when they're all on the field for 300 dropbacks? And it was the target share between Deebo and Ayuk was within 3 percentage points, so not a huge disparity. But what was a huge disparity, the air yardage share was plus 13% for Brandon Ayuk versus Deebo. And that ended up putting the receiver yardage pretty similar between the two of them. But I just, to me, one receiver is moving. These receivers are moving in kind of different directions with what their careers are. I think that Brandon Ayuk can take that step to become one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. And the fact that if we're going to have Brock Purdy be the quarterback, who the three of us were projecting it's going to be Brock Purdy. There was a little news blurb that he's going to start throwing in a week or two. So that was great news for Purdy. But if it's a pocket passer and it's not Trey Lance, we can have more confidence in these pass catchers, and that's how I see things shaking out. And Deebo, with his ups and downs, with his – no one's really, you know, injury-prone, but I think Deebo Samuel might be injury-prone. His body just keeps betraying him at all levels of football. And there's Brandon Ayuk just coming through, being an excellent player for this team, and could easily turn in to their number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
If he's not already.
I get what you're saying, and he very well might be. I mean, he outscored Deebo in points per game last season, so you can already say, oh, he should be their wide receiver one. The only issue I have, because I think he's a talented guy, I mean, I've loved him for years as an actual player. The issue is, and why I think Andy and I have him ranked lower, it's hard when you are splitting targets three ways, and it is very hard when it's four ways. And right now, you've got Deebo, you've got Kittle, you've got Ayuk, and you have to include Christian McCaffrey, who could lead everybody in targets. And so that just makes it to where very difficult. Like, when I do my projections, I'm projecting health for everybody. Now, that won't happen perfectly. So if you want to make the argument that, look, Debo's going to miss half the year, and I'm going to bet on that. And if he did, Ayuk would be much, much better. But when I do my projections, everyone's playing. And if everybody's playing, there is just not enough passing volume to go around for me.
Yeah, I get that. And it's one of the hardest offenses to really look at, because, like, I think he's the fourth most talented of that group.
Oh.
I mean, I think Debo's a more talented.
Get bought.
No, I mean, Debo's a more talented athlete at a player. Kittle, I think, is extremely talented and a game breaker at the position. McCaffrey, we don't have to sing those praises. So there, I haven't seen a football game where Brandon Ayuk, I feel like, is.
Takes over.
Yeah, he's not like demanding the targets necessarily. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Like, he's very productive. Like, he's a super productive. You're going to get 8 touchdowns. I think Deebo scored twice through the air. I mean, he scored 4 times as many touchdowns as Deebo through the air. So, a couple multi-touchdown games for Ayuk. I mean, there were impressive games, no doubt. And he's going to have a lot of room to work, because those other three guys are so much of a focus. Like, when the defense is playing the 49ers, they are not getting into that room and going, man, how do we stop Brandon Ayuk today? Like, that's not the beginning of their conversation. And so he gets room to work. He's got first-round draft capital. But I think this offense is going to be – it's going to be an interesting season for them, because Purdy's going to – when he gets back, is freshly back from injury. Trey Lance lurking, and a defense that's as good as anything in football. So, Mike with the confidence in Brandon Ayuk, and I think it's fair – it's hard to argue when he's finished at that position.
Well, and despite the first half of 2021 being just a complete dumpster fire of absolute nothingness, we're going into year 4. He's improved on yardage, and he didn't improve on touchdowns freshman to sophomore, but 5.5 to 8, 748 yards, 826 yards, up over 1,000 this past year. I mean, that's the ascension is clear to me of who's becoming the go-to guy for them.
Shall we move on?
Chalantui?
Well, Jason, it's your turn to explain yourself. You have decided in whatever Staten Island desk you were sitting at that you would besmirch a sophomore running back that had an incredible rookie season. Who, when you watched play football, I was entertained. Mike, were you entertained?
I was very entertained.
We were both entertained.
Yeah, I thought he looked great.
Yeah, I mean,
he looked fierce.
He was fierce because he's Dameon Pierce. Mike and I, we got him right inside our top 24. Mike at 24, I'm at 22. I consider ourselves reasonable people. You got him at 32, which is, that's down there. That's just down there.
So making sure you know.
32 teams.
There's 32 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Okay,
but you know that.
I am currently aware.
Okay. Yes.
And so, Jason...
you may not be later.
Without further ado, explain yourself!
Yeah, so apparently I hate Dameon Pierce, who, when I watched last year, I thought, excellent running back, looks good, young running back, that's always great. And I don't want any part of him in fantasy. Where, you know, where he's going is going to be ahead of where I would be willing to draft him. And I have two main reasons for this. One is the historical context and data on draft capital, and you mix that with a new coaching staff that was not here for that rookie breakout last year. Dameon Pierce is a day three pick. And for better or worse, the difference between a day two pick and a day three pick in the NFL is massive. It's very meaningful for
about
a franchise.
About a day,
but it's like
24 hours.
The second round and third round picks, those are perceived as so valuable. So much work is put into them. And then day three is like, okay, we're going to shotgun, you know, fourth through seventh, get special teamers and whatnot. And but here's the proof, right? I went back and over the last decade, I looked at all of the best fourth round running backs over the last decade. So I'm not talking about, like, obviously people picked in the fourth should be worse than people picked in the first. I'm talking about the ones who performed well, the best of the best over the last decade who proved they were good. The next year, their sophomore year, on average, those players lost 42 fantasy points per season on average. And in fact, almost all of them were worse. Only two of the top 10 were better in year two, Tariq Cohen and Ramondre Stevenson. And if you compare that to the guys picked in round three, just barely ahead, on average, they score 20 more fantasy points per game, and 50% of them improve on their rookie numbers. But day three picks just don't have the same, the team is not invested the same way. And so that's another issue. They went out this offseason with this coaching staff and picked up Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is making $3 million. Dameon Pierce was the day three pick making $1 million. And Devin Singletary does not get enough respect, in my opinion, as a running back. He is a good veteran running back who just played meaningful snaps for a Super Bowl contender who took a second-round pick in James Cook and said, no, you're the backup. I got 177 carries. You get 89 carries. You combine all of this and you look at what – I mean – We were talking in the profile video today for Dameon Pierce that'll be in the UDK about the percentage of running back carries that went to Dameon Pierce. I mean, yeah, he had a great season, but part of the reason he had a great season was because his prime, the next most carries went to Dare Ogunbowale. Like, there was nobody else to hand the ball to.
10 of the 13 games he played, I believe he was at 85% or higher.
Yeah, that's just never.
He had six or seven games at 100%.
That's what, remember James Robinson's rookie year? That was what happened.
That's like what we talked about in the offseason.
Because the percent of the market share of your running back attempts, if you have just a monopoly on them at 85%, like, good things happen for your fantasy production.
And so that's just not in any way, shape, or form going to happen. This doesn't project to be a great team. They have a rookie quarterback who will probably start week one. If you look back at the last decade of how their running backs performed, only one was a top 24 running back. So I'm completely out on Dameon Pierce. I worry he could be the next Jeremy Langford. And you might not even remember Jeremy Langford, but he was a fourth round pick who had a great rookie campaign.
Bears.
Great rookie campaign. Everybody loved him.
I feel like we had this conversation about Jeremy Langford.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Because that was Jordan Howard, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Who, yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just, he's a fourth-round running back He's not getting better this year. He's getting worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fair from your assessment that efficiency would have to increase. Touchdowns would have to increase. If he wants to equalize what he did last year, look, if he gets a smaller percentage of the running back carries where he scores 8 times,
sure,
you're going to have the same finish.
He definitely looked talented.
But, he's a very tough runner. He is a tackle breaker. For some reason, Kyle doesn't like him. I think it's just kind of blindness.
That's because the hype machine guy.
He didn't like him even going into the season. Did you like the 1,200-yard pace he had, Kyle?
He didn't get to 1,200, did he?
Did you like the pace?
He got steamed up way too much last year.
You don't think he paid out on the steam?
I don't know.
Kyle?
I don't think. I didn't draft him, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. Man. No.
Kyle holds grudges.
He really does.
And his entire argument is everyone likes him.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah.
We have been digging into this. Kyle hates the majority.
That was it.
The contrarian in him.
Too many people find him attractive.
So if we all turn against him, is there any chance you'll go?
Oh, all in. The chips will go all in.
Not at RB20. That's too
rich.
That's
where you're going right now?
Yeah, an underdog.
That's a little too rich for me, too. Especially with there's a possibility that Devin Singletary splits the carries with him.
There's a strong possibility.
So,
all right, Andy, you're going to be up next year, and we're talking about a player who I think we all like. Nobody's going to argue against the talent here, but you like him a whole heck of a lot. You like him more than Mike and I. Mike and I have him at 18 and 23. You have this player at number 10. And this team just went and drafted an additional target taker on the field away from him. And we're talking about the biggest, baddest man, DK Metcalf. Swing your tail!
There it is.
You jumped it too soon.
I guess I'm a little surprised that I am somehow on Metcalf Island here. And Kyle, you said it was hot that I had him at 10. Where's his ADP right now? Do you have that?
Wide receiver 15.
Okay. Yeah, 10's hot.
Okay, 10 is a little hot. Look, this is one where, you know, we've talked a little bit about this offense. We've seen the impact on the ADP of Tyler Lockett with the drafting of Jackson Smith and Jigba. We saw Metcalf stay the same, and I think that is appropriate. There are a handful of true alphas at the NFL level in terms of physicality, size, speed. Metcalf can win down the field. Metcalf can win in up close. He's the best friend of quarterbacks. He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. He's faster than you. And I don't think you guys are debating that with your ranking at all. What I think happened last year is you saw just a very, very anomalous touchdown total from a guy that is maybe more, other than a couple of players in the NFL, probably the most built like Dez Bryant to end up in the end zone, or Mike Evans, to end up with double-digit touchdowns every single year. He did it in year 2. He did it in year 3. And then last year, here he is with 6 touchdowns, despite the fact that he literally led the NFL in end zone targets. He had 21 of them. So that ended up being kind of a letdown year. He ended up at 18, being drafted at 15. But I think Metcalf doesn't get impacted by Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think this is a player that 141 targets, 90 for 1048. You give him 10 touchdowns, we're not talking about him being a letdown in any way, shape, and form, and he should have had 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, he should have.
We're talking about him being almost as good as Tyler Lockett, eh?
Hey?
Hey? Hey, comrades?
But Kyle helped me do some research here, and this was very, very interesting because he looked at the last decade of wide receivers, and there were 12 of them that averaged 8 targets per game in their fourth year. Okay, that's what Metcalf did last year. He averaged 8 targets a game. If you watch those games, he was the centerpiece, even though Lockett was the touchdown king. And so he looked at these 12 wide receivers that averaged 8 targets a game in year 4 and then averaged 8 targets a game in year 5, which is this year. And the list is kind of staggering in terms of how often those players end up being top 8 the next season. So if DK Metcalf maintains 8 targets a game, he's a true alpha. He's going to end up in that category. And you can look at this list from 2013 on, and other than Jarvis Landry, who in Miami, remember that one year in Miami?
Oh, my gosh.
Did he score 10 times that year? nine times, 10 times. He had a kind of a crazy year.
He caught 230 passes.
That's how it felt. And so other than Landry, every single other player on that entire list, when they maintained eight targets, they ended up as a top eight wide receiver. So I think the ceiling is statistically built into the to the outcomes for him. I'm just kind of placing him closer to the ceiling than you guys are, which, you know, I understand hesitancy there. You probably like some other wide receivers a little bit more. But I think Metcalf is a very high upside player at his ADP. And I think you're getting a true number one for your fantasy team when you take him. If you went running back early, you end up with DK Metcalf. I think you should be very, very happy, and you're going to get output that you're happy with.
Yeah, I don't have any problem calling your shot on DK Metcalf. 2 years ago, he was the wide receiver 12. 3 years ago, he was the wide receiver 7. We already know he's got the ability to be a top 12 wide receiver. Obviously, those were with Russell Wilson, but Geno Smith looked fully capable of supporting you know, a wide receiver 1. It's just got to flip between Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. The issue when push comes to shove when drafting and you're looking at this team is that I think it is at least it's not maybe a coin flip as to who finishes higher between Lockett and Metcalf. You know, let's call it 66% chance it's going to be Metcalf and 33% chance it's going to be Lockett. But the gap in where you draft those players is not in any way reflecting that. So obviously you don't have to draft him at 10, and you're putting him down at 10 for that upside, which I like. I can fully appreciate it. And I don't think that
Debo is crazy to think that. I think Debo is going ahead of him.
Debo
is another player.
Debo's one spot ahead of him?
No, Debo's wide receiver 17.
Oh, okay. So just behind him. Not according to our ADP page, Kyle.
Well, our ADP is a sleeper, not underdog.
That's fair. Yeah, I wasn't looking at best ball. I was looking at current redraft. But if that's if those are the players that we're talking about, that's where I think he's a steal. But fair enough. Mike, no thoughts on him?
I'm over here. I'm trying to make my Tyler Lockett jokes. Because Tyler Lockett's been better in three of the four seasons that DK Metcalf has been in the league. And then you look, and it's Metcalf 2020. He was wide receiver 7 with Russ Wilson. Then he went to 12. Then he went to 18. And it's like, I think DK Metcalf is that guy. I mean, they gave him the contract, but I'm saying that guy for fantasy football. But I think that there are some doubts that are starting to sneak in, just like creep under the gate here of, is DK Metcalf really going to become that guy that we think? The stats of the year 4 into year 5, that's very interesting. I'm excited to see if that pays off here for DK Metcalf, because I feel like if you get another another season. Is that DK Metcalf?
That was DK Metcalf.
Okay, I got you. Like, if you get another season where Metcalf is like wide receiver 15 or later, like,
you're gonna close the book on.
You're
that,
gonna go. Is like, will we ever actually see that ceiling?
Yeah, that top three type dominant potential. I agree there. All right, Mike, you're gonna be up here. Yeah, okay. This next player, and this is a player that I thought I really liked. But apparently I don't. Mike does. I've got him at wide receiver 30. Think he's a good wide receiver, but I got him at 30.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, you don't really like a guy at 30, Jason.
Well,
30's not really liking a guy.
I like him for his talent, but not for his team, not for his situation, not for his quarterbacks.
I've got him at 28. I love him.
Yeah. 28, 30, that feels about right. Mike up here at 14.
Yep.
On
that means
Chris
you have him ahead.
Godwin.
Of DK Metcalf.
So, Mike.
Considerably.
At 14.
And foolishly.
On Chris Godwin, it is time for you to explain yourself.
So, it is.
This is so much spice.
It is the Rod God. It is Christopher Godwin, who is 27. Look, it starts here with, this is the second year recovering from the ACL. Last year was wild that he tore his ACL towards the end of the season 2 years ago. The fact that he was ready to go at the beginning of the season was pretty shocking. It was pretty bumpy along the way, but it wasn't just Chris Godwin. Like, Tom Brady, that was not a good version that we saw last year of Tom Brady. That did not stop Chris Godwin from racking up a bunch of counting statistics. In 15 games, he put up the sixth most receptions of wide receivers last year, targeted on 23% of his routes. So he still has it. But there was a massive touchdown problem for Chris Godwin last year, who had, what, I believe, three touchdowns. So
nothing Baker can't fix.
Well,
sorry, I'll let you defend yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
and also you apologize because nothing Kyle Trask can't fix is what you meant to say.
There we go. It was the worst touchdown percentage of Tom Brady's career. I think Tom Brady was just toast. So that's why I was laughing at your Tom Brady to Vegas. That would that could be something special. But last year, so that turned that made Chris Godwin one of three wide receivers ever to have 100 plus receptions, 1,000 yards, and fewer than four touchdowns. Funny enough, one of them was Mr. Wes Welker
with
Thomas Brady. Was 2008? Was that the ACL year? I don't remember if Brady played that year. It's been too long. But the point is, regression, or I should say, as we say on this show, positive regression should come for Christopher Godwin if he's still going to get that amount of receptions, that amount of yards. Over the last 5 years, wide receivers average a touchdown on about every 13 receptions. And that puts him closer to eight than instead of the three. I think that Chris Godwin still has it. He will be even healthier. It's funny, you know, the DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, there are massive parallels to those two to Godwin and Evans than to the Seattle wide receivers who last year we just buried in ADP because Geno Smith was going to be the quarterback for that team.
That's your best point.
It's just like.
That's your best point because we did, and people did.
Yeah, I'm guilty as charged.
And I think we did have a couple of those times when we were just like, is this the dumbest thing ever? We've seen them play football. They're great.
Yeah, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I think, are still good wide receivers. If you want to say that Mike Evans is probably losing a step or two, okay, he's a bit older. But Chris Godwin at 27 in the prime of his wide receiver career or his wide receiver years, I think that people are massively undervaluing a great route runner, a player with good hands, and someone who, like, look at the weapons on this team. I mean, Chris Godwin should see easily 24% of the targets.
Here's the Jason. I'll let you speak too, but the worry here would not be the case for the Metcalf Lockett under rating of last year. It's welcome to Deontay Johnson's life. That would be the bad case here because you lose the confidence of the Big Ben and Tom Brady. Like, it bothers me a little that Chris Godwin can have 104 receptions in a season and finish at 20. Like, yards per catch going down four straight years, production going down four straight years touchdown-wise. The Deontay Johnson's the bad case. The good case would be the Metcalf-Lockett kind of situation. But that's like, are you Kenny Pickett, Baker? Or are you closer to Geno Smith, Baker?
And I believe with the offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we've seen Baker be good, we've seen Baker be bad, but I've never seen Baker be good under pressure. I mean, if Baker's got guys coming at him, Baker turns into the worst quarterback imaginable, and he's going to have guys in his face. So that's really the difficult thing. And then you look, a wise man once said earlier this morning, that Tom Brady threw for 733 passes. There were only 11 quarterbacks who threw for over 500 last year. So if this team goes from 733 to 550, which seems very reasonable, that's just so, you know, you can't worry about, well, positive touchdown regression. You're going to lose so many targets just because the pie shrinks, even if your target market share is good. I like Chris Godwin, and what my favorite part about it is that being your two from that injury, because that was a severe, it wasn't a clean ACL. He shouldn't have been there for week one. I think Tom Brady just made him will it to happen.
Stitched it together with broccoli.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to see a healthy, talented Chris Godwin this year, but the team situation around him scares me thinking he could be top 15.
There's a chance both guys are losing a step. There's a very good chance both guys are. Because, I mean, God, there's not a guarantee Godwin gets back to any of the form he had before.
Sure.
And so it is like, it could be both of them. It could be a new era for Tampa with the number one pick, and all of a sudden we're talking about, like, you know, Marvin Harrison arriving in Tampa next year. Jason, I don't know what the hell you're doing with this with this selection here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you decided that you wanted to speak on behalf of this player, because I thought he was already on your Mount Rushmore of all-timers. But Terry McLaurin.
Mm.
Terry McLaurin, Jason's champion.
Don't read the rankings.
Read them. Read them and weep.
I mean, it makes... I don't get it. Jason has him at 14, which I think is a reduction from where he had him. Mike has him at 25. I got him at 23. That feels generous to me.
You know why I don't like Chris Godwin? Because Baker Mayfield's his quarterback. Now let me tell you about why I love Terry McLaurin with Sam Howell.
Jason is alone when it comes to the underdog universe, the best ball universe, who has him at 26. He's 27 years old, got 3 years left on a deal. Last year had 1,100 yards and 5 touchdowns. Jason Moore.
You guys are crazy.
It's time.
Explain yourself!
Do it.
Okay.
Terry McLaurin. Where's the... You don't have a jersey on for Terry McLaurin today?
I got a tattoo, but okay. I don't want to take the shirt off right now. It's fresh. Got to wait for that to heal up.
You haven't had it on in previous years.
It is. No, I look, we would all agree, Terry McLaurin, very good wide receiver. Situation, maybe not that great. I mean, this is a team who last year ran the ball the fourth most times, and they were 20th in passing attempts. That's not great. And in that team, with bad quarterback play, you want to know where Terry McLaurin finished, if you didn't remember? Wide receiver 14. So I don't think it's that crazy that I got him at wide receiver 14 at all. In fact, I think maybe I am too low. And I really think that because I had to move him down to wide receiver 14 when I actually finished my initial rankings. And a lot of this is because of Eric Bieniemy and Scott Turner. Scott Turner, their former offensive coordinator, who was apparently best friends with Curtis Samuel. He came from Carolina, played with Curtis Samuel and all of that jazz. He's out. He's gone. Who'd they bring in? Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, obviously, we don't know how great he is. He's had Patrick Mahomes. So, like, all of his numbers are going to look good. You can't look at, well, how was his yardage and touchdown numbers? Pretty good. He had Patrick Mahomes. But you can look at the passing attempts and the rushing attempts. What did he want to do in a perfect world? And he lived in a perfect world because he had Patrick Mahomes. And if you look at those numbers, you find someone with rushing offensive attempts. And this was for a team that was winning and running the clock out at the end of the games at 23rd in the league, 27th, 23rd, 20th, 25th. And passing attempt numbers for their offense, 5th in the league, 2nd in the league, 3rd in the league, 9th in the league. Now, obviously, we got to be realistic and say, well, Patrick Mahomes sways some of that. You're going to pass a lot more with Patrick Mahomes. But this is not going to be a team running the ball the fourth most in the league. And their strength now with Jahan Dotson is Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin are a great 1-2 punch. If you look from week 10 on, that's when Dotson got back from injury and they stopped doing all the weird gadget stuff with Curtis Samuel. You had a great stretch for Terry McLaurin. He had a 27% market share. And I think him and Jahan Dotson, I'm in on both of them. And the thing is like, I actually do like Sam Howell. I think that, you know, I had him.
So
as
does
a,
Washington. I
had
guess.
Him as a first-round grade. He obviously was not drafted in the first round. He could come out and absolutely suck.
Or the second.
Yeah, no, yeah, he could
or,
come out
or the third.
And absolutely suck.
Hold on, or the fourth. Fifth, we did it.
There we go.
We found him.
But if he sucks, that's fine. Because Jacoby Brissett is behind him, and what did he do with Amari Cooper last year? Like the quarterback situation is not great, but it's not worse than it was last year. And so to me,
was that a period at the end of that sentence? I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were concluding your offensive.
I believe that Terry McLaurin is a great NFL wide receiver. I think his situation is going to be much better with a healthy Jahan Dotson and Eric Bieniemy as offensive coordinator, and the quarterback situation is, regardless of if it's better, it's not worse than last year. So we know he's already capable of being the wide receiver 14.
Yeah, I think part of it is kind of getting back to the Metcalf-Lockett situation. It's like, I think Jahan Dotson has a decent chance to be the better fantasy wide receiver this year than Terry McLaurin. I think that's a possibility. And it's actually kind of interesting when you look at once he returned and was playing over 70% of the snaps, because he was coming off an injury that was limiting him, speaking of Dotson, when he first returned. But once he started playing over 70% of the snaps, it's ridiculous if you look at the splits in that time between Dotson and McLaurin. The final five games of the year where they were both doing that, McLaurin, 1,193-yard pace, Dotson, 1,169. McLaurin, 10.2 touchdown pace, Dotson, 10.2 touchdown pace, 119 targets, 115 targets, 71 receptions, 74 receptions. So that would be my only kind of why go all in on TMC if I can get Dotson later? That might be the decision that I'd be making. But that would be my only commentary.
I've got no problem grabbing Dotson later and wanting a piece of the offense that way. I've got both of them very highly ranked. One of the things that I...
Dotson, we've got Dotson here!
One of the things I like about this offense is I think there's going to be a consolidation of targets. I believe Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson are going to be basically 50% of the targets. It's going to be those two guys, and we've
seen
it.
Why are you dumping on Curtis Samuel so much? Just because obviously Ron Rivera is very familiar with Curtis Samuel and has a loyalty to him too.
I've been a Curtis Samuel guy over the past, but if you look at what happened last year with their game log, when they were using Curtis Samuel a lot, they started, he was very involved those first 5 weeks. I believe they went 1-4 those first 5 weeks. It wasn't winning. And Jahan Dotson is great. So to me, it's not that I hate Curtis Samuel. It's that Jahan Dotson is just so much better that they're going to go out there. Eric Bieniemy is going to see these guys and go, here's my two special players. Let's design an offense around these two special players.
Logan Thomas is offended.
I am not offended by my statements.
The fact that Logan Thomas even played football last year is...
He really wasn't that bad either.
I don't know.
So Terry McLaurin, 14. I mean,
watch out for Logan.
14 going on 2. Not bad.
You can get him there.
I think Logan Thomas was pretty bad last year.
Was he?
Yeah. I think he had...
Wait, you think or you looked it up?
Let me see. 1 touchdown, 323 yards.
That's fair.
In 14 games.
That's fair. Yeah. I'm thinking of the year before.
Well, considering the injury that he was coming off of, and we thought maybe he doesn't play football again.
Yeah, he was a tight end 6, but that was back in 2020.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
All right, the final player we're going to talk about, it is a running back. It's a running back who has been near and dear to my heart, has finished as the RB4 and the RB14. He may be one of the only true bell cows left, but we'll see if he gets used like that. Yeah, Jason and I have him ranked as a running back 1, Andy more of like a middling running back 2. It is Mr. Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Andy, explain yourself.
I just don't get excited about Najee Harris. I really don't. I'm not.
I don't
you
like
said
to
middling
hear that.
Running back 2. I've got him near the top of the running back 2. 16 is not bad. 16 is fine.
Too low.
Well, now you're trying to just say that your rank is good.
I'm just taking issue with you saying middling. That's all. It's near the top. But it's different than you guys have him at 10 and 11. Look, he's just not that good of a player. He really isn't.
How dare you?
He's not that good of a running back.
Yes, he is.
He is Cedric Benson. That's what Najee Harris is. You go look at their best years, they're the same. You can't tell me a guy that's averaged 3.8 and 3.9 a carry is an amazing running back. Volume has been the key for Najee Harris. That's fine. But I have this team, the Steelers, projected bottom 10, total plays, total yards, don't love the offense. Guess what? My stat projections, very similar to last year's stat projections for Najee Harris. Where he finished at 14, I've got him at 16. That's fine. I don't see the upside of Najee Harris. I really don't. Jaylen Warren's a player they want to get more involved. Kenny Pickett doesn't get me up in the morning. And, when I'm looking at the players I'm deciding between, Miles Sanders, I see tons of upside in Carolina. Travis Etienne I like more. Ramondre, Aaron Jones. Like, there are players that catch the football at – like, Najee used to do it to a degree that made him a special weapon, right? I didn't care about his efficiency on the ground when he was 2 years ago, what was it, 74 receptions?
He was the running back 4, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 2 years ago.
Well, last year when he recovered from his injury, the second half of the year, he was the running back 5 during the,
I don't like the injury washing of the whole year, because as a rookie, he was 3.9 a carry, and as a sophomore, he was 3.8 a carry. So it's like, I feel like that's the easy way to go when a guy didn't play well. You watched him play.
I watched him play. I watched the offensive line let everyone through like they were matadors, and Najee trying to break tackles the second he grabs the ball. I also watched the Steelers this offseason spend big money on a couple of contracts and then spend their first-round pick on an offensive lineman. And
it's crazy because Jaylen Warren averaged 4.6 behind the same line, so they must have put some different linemen out there for Jaylen Warren.
I am pro Jaylen
Warren. That's obvious that
Jaylen
the line
Warren
was to blame.
Was on the field during that stretch of games playing the snaps that you worry about when Najee was the running back 5 or the second half.
Yeah, and he averaged almost a yard better. So I'm just saying, Najee Harris has shown me through 2 years he's a volume play. That's fine. Nothing wrong with the volume play. He's just not my volume play. Look, it's like cafeteria food. They give you more because it doesn't taste as good. I want a fine meal at this pick. If I'm going to have to spend a second-round draft pick on a running back, I want the chance that I'm having the best meal of my life.
Doesn't want a meddling running back too, Jason.
Hmm. Well, now it's meddling. Meddling doesn't even make sense. That would be like messing with my lineup, which he also does.
Meddler, right. Who cares?
All right. Well, good for everybody out there. Did you say Bette Midling? Bette Midlering. Yeah. If he's Bette Midlering, I'm back in. All right. Tiered ranking, stat projections, all in the UDK,
he
which comes out on Thursday.
Then.
Yes, he would.
Fly,
oh, man.
Fly,
we all had parents that Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah. My mom loved Bette
Midler. Oh, man. Yeah, the cassette tapes.
No, I wonder how many people listening here are like, who's Bette Midler?
Have we reached that point?
Yeah, I think at this point, the only thing she's famous from is Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, kids, Bette Midler.
Actress.
Is the main character in Hocus Pocus. 1 and 2.
Big Bette Midler fan, Brooksy?
Nope.
How about you, Al?
No.
Oh, man. Did your mom have the cassette tape, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Wind Beneath My Wings, right?
Yes.
Heard that a lot as a child.
All right. The UDK comes out Thursday, ultimatedraftkit.com. This is your last chance to get it at a discount. I know you're going to get it. I was on Twitter, and someone was talking about the UDK, and then somebody replied and said, I'm going to get that soon.
Hey, look.
Because it comes out June 1st.
Take your time. June 1st, get it. It's out.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to rush and save money right now. But, I mean, it's all just take your time. I would get it on the first. But if you're like, I do want to save money, you're running out of time.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with another episode on Thursday for Bette Midler. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Well, hey, thank you for listening to today's episode. You want more? Check out our fantasy football community at jointhefoot.com.